Well, hello everyone, and welcome to your place. I'm Starla.
Love Talk Radio.
Tonight we'll be listening to Missionary Rodriguez at Life Change Church in Franklin, Tennessee. The title of the message is called The Onion, and I think that everybody will enjoy this message that was recorded from a live service. The quality of the recording isn't best. As in many live services, the music is always playing louder than the other microphones. Plus, as many of you know, in a live service, the preachers don't always stay planted behind the microphone. I pray that you can get the impact of this message. Some of the points you will hear in this message, Bill has already shared with you. This is a great message for the Church of the Last Days to hear. We'll have time at the end for comments at the end of the show. And now, without further ado, here's our host, Wild Bill.
Well, hello, everybody. We want to thank you again for being part of our show. And as Starla stated, we've used some of these points with some of the topic we've had here over the last two or three weeks. And as I stated during some of those shows, this was part of a missing piece as to what the Lord had been dealing with me on. And if everyone would, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, I had you put down five things that were really important to you that you would like to have God do in your life. And, you know, if you just kind of would take a moment and think on those things, you know, it could be lost loved ones. It could be to have a closer walk with God than what you already had. It could be that God could use you in a stronger manner than he ever has in your life, whatever it was. But in stopping and thinking about those things and making it a personal thought process between you and God, it kind of opens your doors, the doors of your heart and your mind, so that you can be more receptive for this message that's going to be brought to you. Again, I want to apologize. The sound is not the same quality as some of the things we played in the past, but it is what it is. And so y'all just kind of bear with us a little bit, and we're going to turn this over to our Brother Rodriguez. And I pray that y'all are all blessed.
Amen. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord tonight? If you are thankful for his wonderful presence, would you clap your hands unto the Lord tonight? If you are thankful for his love in this house, oh, there is no love like the love of Jesus Christ. Has the power to heal hearts, wounds, lives. Oh, would you clap your hands with all your heart, with all that is in you tonight? If the Lord has been good to you, oh, God, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your victory, God. Thank you, Jesus, for your power, for your truth. One of our missionaries that was stationed in a Muslim camp testified that every single night, when it was dark and everyone was sleeping deeply, a voice with a burden, a voice with conviction, would shout through the sound system in that camp and would say these words, "Why sleep when you can pray? Why sleep when you can pray?" And one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, they would leave their comfortable beds. They would march together in one mind and one accord to their temple. In the middle of the night, they would bow down time and time again before their God. And with all their heart, with all their strength, they would lift up their voices and they would lift up the name of their God. Time and time again, during the late hours of the night, our missionary would watch them from the back door. And he said that the intensity, the devotion of their worship was so loud, so real, that it would cause him to feel goosebumps all over his body. Oh, but tonight I'm so glad to know, through the very word of God, that when God's people humble themselves and pray, God Almighty will hear from heaven. And when we take the time to humble ourselves and pray, pray, lifting up that name that is above cancer, that is above addictions, that is above sin. We're going to have more than just goosebumps. We're going to have more than just tradition. We're going to have more than just religion. But Jesus said, the signs and wonders shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. Pastor, I normally like to give honor first to the ministry, but if you don't mind tonight, I just feel like giving honor first to my God. You know, I have come to a point in my life, and I was thinking that on the way here, that I can't live just in the ordinary. I'm not satisfied with just the ordinary. I need the supernatural. I need to see what I never saw before. I need to feel what I never felt before. My children need that. This generation is crying for something that the world is not able to give to them. And we have the answer. I want to ask you today if you came with that same desire. Not just to be in the ordinary, just to clock in and clock out, but if you came to receive something from God. I want to ask you. I actually want to give an opportunity to do exactly what the Bible says. Humble yourself and pray. In the house of prayer. Believing that God will hear from heaven. But before we do that together, I want to tell, I read a little article in one of our magazines, a Pentecostal magazine, that said this. Statistics shows that when a Pentecostal preacher gets in the pulpit and says, "Let's praise the Lord," majority of churches across the United States, they praise God Almighty, the Savior of the world, the Creator, for about 10 seconds. Then they stop and they sit down. I feel like breaking the statistics tonight. How many of you would like to break the statistics and let the Lord know that He's welcome in this house? He's welcome to move in the way He wants to move. He's welcome to touch what needs to be touched. He's welcome in this place. If so, I'm going to ask you right now, would you just lift up your hands? And would you humble yourself before God? And pray. If my people humble themselves, I know it's Wednesday night, but what about humbling ourselves tonight and thank Him for Calvary? What about thank Him today because He heard our voice and He forgave us time and time again? What about humble ourselves and pray and welcome the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that we're going to see one day when the trumpets sound? Oh God, have Your way, Jesus. Have Your way, Jesus. We are hungry for You, God. We are hungry for the supernatural. We don't want to go through the motions. We don't want just to have God tradition tonight, but we want to have real Christianity, real anointing, real power. Build this house with Your fire, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that's beautiful, church. 10 minutes already passed. There is a church still humbling themselves. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Church, before you sit down, would you clap your hands one more time unto the Lord? Praise God. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask you to shake hands with somebody tonight. But when you shake hands with somebody, remind somebody what this is all about. We are just warming up for that meeting in the sky. That's what this is all about. Aren't you glad to be part of that church? Amen. Shake hands with somebody. Remind somebody. Brother, we are just warming up for that meeting in the sky. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a glorious day that will be. Amen, amen. Everybody will be happy when we get over there. I can't wait to see face to face my Savior, my Redeemer. We are blessed to have the promise of eternal life in our lives today. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated today. Amen. It's so good to be here. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me and my family to be here. Thank you for inviting us. Thank you for your kind hospitality. We enjoy fellowshipping with you and with your beautiful family. Amen. Great music here today. Amen. It was great worship. Amen. Would you give a hand to all of those that work to worship him through music and through praise? That's beautiful. Thank God. Amen. I still believe he abides in the praises of his people. I still believe that if we don't praise him, God's going to raise some rocks to praise him. And I don't want for any rock to take my place. The Lord died for me, not for the rocks. Thank God. Amen. For what he has done for us. But the Lord has been so good to us, me and my family. By the grace of God, we were appointed as new missionaries to the Republic of Portugal. And for me and my wife, because of the vision of a great revival that God has for that land, because of the burden that God has placed in our life. Portugal, it's more than just a country. It's more than just a location. It's more than just a group of people. I believe it today. I feel it. It's a wide open door to 12 million souls in need of Acts 2:38. Once we finish this deputation, amen, and the Lord has been opening the doors for us to go to the north of Portugal. The north of Portugal is one of those places in the world that has never had before one Pentecostal church. But I have good news for you tonight. The Lord is about ready to move a church to that area. Because church is not walls, pews, and air condition. Thank God for those things. But we are the church of the living God, bought with a wonderful, tremendous price, the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad to be in church today. How many of you are glad to be part of that church today? We are that church that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. Amen. We have been translating material from Spanish and from English into the Portuguese language. We are sharpening our tools. It's our desire once we get there to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with every creature. And I don't know where it's going to happen. But I have a vision, perhaps in the marketplace. I see somebody raising their hands. I see tears of repentance rolling down their cheeks. I see my God being faithful one more time and filling somebody with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I can't wait to take somebody to the river or to the ocean and baptize them in that wonderful name of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I still get excited that I was born again of the water and of the Spirit. Let me ask you tonight, aren't you glad you got it? Aren't you glad you got that name? Aren't you glad you got that Spirit? There is no other way. We must be born again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. We are excited and we ask you, please, amen. You might never be able, like Pastor was saying, to go to Portugal, but we can go anywhere in our knees. There is no barriers. Let's not forget to pray one for another. You might never be able to go to Japan, but you can pray for the work of God and be a great part of the work of God in Japan, in India, in Africa, in Europe, everywhere. There is no barriers, amen, for prayer. Aren't you glad that we can pull down strong walls? I mean, if you still believe in the power of prayer. We are going to a country that don't know what the word pastor means. But that's all right. That doesn't bother me at all. I can preach the word and rejoice and worship my God and teach Bible studies and invite people to church with people calling me Bill or Joe. Doesn't matter. But there is something that bothers me. We are going to a country that don't know what the word prayer means. Aren't you glad that you know you can talk with them today before you leave? And not only that, but you can hear his voice talking to you. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Would you open the word of God today in the book of 2 Corinthians 5:17? I don't want to take too much time today. 2 Corinthians 5:17. How many of you love this word? We are saved by the singing of the gospel. Is that what the word says? We are saved by the choir. We are saved by the preaching of the gospel. I'm glad that somebody preached to me one day. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you got it, say amen. Therefore, if any rich man, therefore, if any wise man, therefore, if any man that has never made a mistake, therefore, if any white man, black man, yellow man, pink man, is that what the Word of God says? I'm glad that the Word of God says, therefore, if any man. Doesn't matter from where you came from, what happened in the past, today, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Today, if you repent and you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, amen, filled with the Holy Ghost, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I still believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. I still believe in the power of the name of Jesus. I'm still excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I come tonight to preach about the God that is able to transform old things into new things. I don't believe we are in church just to be comfortable. I believe we are in church to be changed. How many of you want for the Lord to work in your life? Would you raise your hands and ask the Lord, Lord Jesus, here I am, God. Lord, touch me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Like we sing today, take my heart, take every secret part. Lord Jesus, that's not just a song, that's our desire. We pray, Lord, move in our lives. In Jesus' name, God, I need more of you, less of me. In Jesus' precious name, amen, 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 amen. When I was a child, I had a hero in my life. I had somebody that was so special to me. He was my hero. I love him. I just didn't like him. I love him to the point that I want to talk like he talked. Have you ever met somebody that you like so much that you want to talk like that person? I want to act like he acts. I want to walk like he walked. I want to do the things, learn to do the things as soon as possible. Just to be like him, the things that I knew he was able to do. He was my hero. I love him. Let me introduce to you tonight my hero. My hero was my daddy. Oh, in my mind, there was nobody like my daddy. In my mind, he was the strongest. He was the most capable man on earth. I felt bad for all the other kids. My dad was just the best. I was always bragging on him. But also, I want to let you know tonight that I didn't have a chance to grow up with my dad. My dad wasn't ever there. And as the months and the years pass, I start missing him. All that I knew now after a while about him was memories that I treasure in my heart. Oh, I miss him. As the time passed, the more I miss to hear his voice, to play with him, to touch his hands, to feel his hug. Oh, I was missing. And I remember got to a point that I start making plans in my mind. Start thinking, you know, my dad going to show up this year. He's not going to forget my birthday. He's going to come for my birthday. He's going to come. And I would imagine in my mind to hear a knock in the door and not knowing who was. I would walk to that door and I would open that door. And there he was, my daddy. I would imagine him hugging me and me hugging him. And oh, what a wonderful day that would be. And I wait for that knock on the door during my birthday. But my friend just never took place during my birthday. But nothing would change. He was still the best. He was still my hero. He was still the strongest man on the planet. He was still my daddy. I love him. And I would make new plans. I remember I started planning for Christmas. That's it. I know in the last years he wasn't able to come, but he's going to come. He's going to remember me during Christmas. Maybe he's going to bring a toy. Maybe he's going to bring something. And even though all that I wanted was my dad, forget the toy. I just want to be with my daddy. But that knock on the door during Christmas just never took place. And I remember people that knew my situation would come and, hey, son, did your dad show up? And I didn't really want to give a bad report about my daddy. I want my dad to look good. And I would check my head, and people say, did he call? Did he call? No. He's in the car. And people would say negative comments and shake their heads, and we would get upset about that. And I didn't like their reaction because it really didn't matter if he wasn't there. It didn't matter if he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do as a father. For me, it was the best. I love him. I didn't see any imperfection in him. And I want for everybody, instead of saying negative things about him, to say positive things. And I want for everybody to love him just as much as I do. But I remember one day, things changed a little bit. I was sitting down in my grandpa's couch, and I was looking down, thinking about life, I guess. And I remember I had my hand. I remember so well. I had my hand on top of my leg, and I was just looking down, and suddenly somebody entered in that room, and I didn't bother to look. It didn't really matter who was. And that person came slowly by my side, sit down on that couch, and suddenly a hand reached down my hand. And when I felt that touch, I looked at that hand, and right away I realized that's not my grandpa's hand. Wait a minute, that's not my neighbor's hand. That's not my friend's hand. I realized right away that touch, that hand was a special hand, was a special touch. My friend, let me remind you today that when we go to the house of God, and our everlasting Father reaches down with His love, reaches down His hand, He touches our life, we're going to know right away that that touch, it's not just anybody's touch. That touch is the touch of the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father, the Savior, the one that has power to yield. When I got that touch that day, it caused me to look up. That's what's going to happen when God really reaches down and touch our souls. We might come through the door of pain, but when the power of God touches us, the joy of God and the peace of God can transform things and gives us hope and causes us to look up. And when I saw my dad's face, I embraced him. He embraced me. Finally! We were together. Finally, I heard his voice. He took me in his car. We traveled for a few hours. I step out of his car. I look around. I was in his property. What a beautiful place. I realized right away, my dad has not been struggling like I've been struggling. He's a pretty wealthy man. I could see he had a business and different things going for him. I enter inside of his house. I look around. Wow, I could see all these riches. And I was so proud. I am his son. I was so proud. Oh, that's my daddy. I was proud of him. May I ask you a question today? When you come to the house of your everlasting Father, are you still glad to be a child of Jesus Christ? Can you still see the riches of his healing, the riches of his mercy, the riches of his love? Let me remind you, my God is not struggling. He's not going bankrupt. He's high and lifted up. He's high and lifted up. He has all power in heaven and in earth. Amen. He's not struggling healing somebody. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly. I was glad. Are you glad to be a Jesus name apostolic? I'm glad to know my everlasting Father. And he picked me up, my daddy, set me down in a chair. He said, son, something was disturbing him. And he finally spoke up. I remember as I think about that moment, I could see his face was disturbed. He looked at me and said, son, I want to talk with you, boy. We have not been together for a long time. I feel like I don't know you. But I want to know you. Tell me, where have you been? What have you done? Where have you been? What have you done? I want to know who you are. Speak to me. I don't think there is any child that wants to feel like daddy don't know him. I believe every child wants to feel like daddy's proud of him. He hurt in the beginning, but I kind of sit down and I kind of try to swallow those tears and sit there. And I started trying to explain to him who I was, and it was kind of hard. But more than anything, I wanted him to know the pain that was inside of not having him in my life. I wanted him to know about the tears at night before I fall asleep when the pain was strong. I wanted him to know how much I miss him and how much I desire him right now in my life. I need you, Dad. I told him about my desire of having him one day coming and pick me up from school. Daddy, I see all the daddies coming, picking up my buddies. Could you do that one day? That would be awesome, Dad. I miss you. I need you. And I remember as I opened my heart and tried to explain to him how much I need him in my life, suddenly he said, "Son, I want to let you know something. From now on, if you just stay right here in my house, if you just made up your mind to stay right here, I tell you, I will teach you to be a man. I will teach you to be successful in life. I will teach you how to learn how to do A, B, C, D." He went down the list. "If you stay right here, I'll teach you to be like your daddy." My friend, it took me 2 seconds to say, "Yes, Dad, I'll be more than glad to be here. Let me stay here. Let me live with you. You don't need to buy another bed. I'm okay. Just let me stay in the couch somewhere. I'll be glad I'm all right, Dad, as long as I am by your side." That was my attitude that day when I received that invitation. And my friend, why am I preaching this today? Because my friend, you might never had an experience like this with your real dad. And I guess that's a good thing. But before we leave this place, somewhere, sometime, we're going to need to have an experience just like this with our everlasting Father. You see, when we come to the house of God and we start worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, that kind of worship attracts our God. He abides in the praises of His people. And because it's not a piece of a rock or a piece of jewelry or a piece of a plastic thing that you put in the dashboard, but it's a spirit that moves upon the waters. He's real. He starts moving as we worship Him. That's God's address. It's hallelujah. I love you, God. I believe in you. I love you, Jesus. As we start worshiping Him and fellowshipping with Him, He starts fellowshipping with us. He comes where we are. He's a very present help in time of need. Oh, He's a strong tower to those that cry out for His name. Amen. He starts moving in between the pews, looking for somebody that is hungry for a touch of His healing, looking for somebody that is hungry for a touch of His love, looking for somebody that is hungry for a touch of His peace, looking for somebody that is hungry for a touch of His comfort, looking for somebody that is hungry for a touch of His power. And when He finds that person, my God will never leave you. Where He first finds you, He will pick you up. He will bring you to a place where He can hear your voice, where you can hear His voice, a place where He wants to know where you have been, what you have done, a place where He wants to know who you are. And as we talk with Him, the Bible calls this particular moment a place of repentance, where we open up and we humble before Him and we let Him know what we have done, where we have been, and our need for Him. And as we humble and talk with Him, there will become a time, and I pray that that time will happen tonight. Will God reach down one more time, pick you up? Yes, because my God, serving our God, it's not always the same level. It's one more level, one more revelation. It's not a boring dead life. It's one more powerful prayer meeting. It's one more powerful message. It's one more powerful miracle. That's my God. That's the real Christianity that this Bible talks about. He will pick you up one more time. We'll bring you close to Him. And I pray that we'll tell this to somebody tonight. My son, my daughter, if you just make up your mind to stay right here in my house, I will teach you to be like me. I will teach you how to pray. I will teach you how to be saved. I will teach you how to be holy. I will teach you how to worship. I will teach you how to turn your sorrows into joys through the power of praise. I will teach you how to have faith. I will teach you how to be a witness. I will teach you how to be the light and the salt of the earth. Well, God, I just came to visit tonight. I'm here because they want me to be here. Sorry, I'm leaving the same way I came. Oh, we can answer God like I answer my daddy. I'll be more than glad to stay. be right here. I'll be more than glad to abide in your presence. I can't live without you. I need your peace. Peace that the world cannot give it to me. I need your joy. I need you. I need your forgiveness. I need your salvation. Let me hold your hand. And if we say yes, a new powerful process will begin in our lives. A process. If we say yes, a powerful process will begin in our lives that will change us forever. And I want to communicate with the help of God that process to you through this poem entitled The Onion. That's the title of this message, The Onion. I was an onion before Christ set me free. Layers upon layers of iniquity. An ugly old onion whose fragrance was strong, that my Jesus bought and loved all along. Unknown to me what he was going to do, of what he was planning, I had not a clue. Pulling each layer off one by one, in order to make me more like Jesus, the Son of God. The first layer wasn't so bad. I saw the sins that I knew I had. They were easy to fix. Just change the way I talk and learn more of how he wanted me to walk. Reading his word and learning again. I have to put aside my life of sin. But the next layer was pulled, which hurt more. My friend, now he was getting closer, closer to the core. Unknown what he would find there. I simply gave it to him in prayer. As another layer was removed, he started to cry. Pulling this layer brought pain to my father and I. And I was crying over the sadness I felt, the brokenness and all of the guilt. Past memories, oh, let me say it again. Past memories that I thought they were gone, but they were buried under layers. Disguised in the fragrance so strong. As onions are peeled more and more, they put tears in our eyes as we get close to the core. So my father wept over my pain, giving me a balm of comfort and strength to sustain. No more layers, I would scream as he continued to peel each layer off of me. I will have nothing left, my Lord. What will I do? I'll be nothing but the worthless core to you. But he simply said, trust me, continue to peel. I believe he was blind to my pain that was so real. Year after year, I shrunk more and more until all that was left of this onion was the core. It was then that I began to understand. As the Lord embraced me in his loving hand, he said, now and only now can you be the creation that will minister before me, clothed with the righteousness only from above. Oh, no more of yourself, no more of your layers, so you can be filled with my love. It took my layers of sin, hurt, and pain, and clothes me with his love, truth, and mercy in his powerful name. Yes, we are all onions, learning with each day how to overcome as each layer is taken away. Some layers tear and pull at our heart, while others grieve us to our innermost part. But we are nothing but an ugly onion without Christ. Layers upon layers of pride, sin, and strife. Only God can take those layers away and clothe us with his righteousness in that final day. And my dad tried to keep me with him, but he brought me back to my old grandma's house. I walked from his car. He couldn't make it happen. My heart full of sorrow again. I went to my room, locked myself, and I wept, and I wept, and I wept, and I wept some more. That day of seed of sorrow was planted in my heart. And as I grow, that seed became a tree of bitterness. I became bitter against life. I became bitter against my dad. I became bitter against many things. In my teenage year, that tree of bitterness start producing fruits of hate. I start hating. That was the only way I could help to calm that pain that was inside of me, was not letting others touch me and abuse me. I would prefer to hurt somebody before they hurt me again. And I hid in my bed. I remember when the pain was so strong, I would lock myself in my room and with tears in my heart, in my eyes, when the pain was so real. And I would imagine I was talking with him in my teenage years. And I remember I would imagine myself telling him, "Hey, Daddy, what you've done to me, no dad should ever done. Oh, I don't want to talk with you again. I want a revenge. I want to tell him in his face, I don't want to see you again. What you done to me, no dad should ever done to a son. I hate you. I want a revenge." In the middle of all that revenge, something happened in my country during the time of Saddam Hussein regime. Saddam Hussein said something to our country, and all of us got very fearful, including myself. Majority of young people, they were afraid of dying. And during that time, something spoke to me as fear of dying creeping to my heart. Something spoke to me and said, "Just give your life to God." And I just walked through those streets of Portugal. I had went many times in the past to church, but I went to church before because somebody took me, because somebody wanted me to be there. But that day I went, it was the first day that I went to church. I went because I wanted my experience with God. I wanted to receive what God had to offer. And I walked through the streets until I found this building, small building. On top of the door there was a sign that said Igreja Pentecostal Unida de Portugal, which means United Pentecostal Church of Portugal. I walked in that little door, and inside I found a missionary. That service was his first service. That message that he preached that day was his first message that he preached in the country of Portugal. I am glad today for somebody that left family, that left career, that left home, that left country to go somewhere where many of us wouldn't go to preach the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. Because while he was preaching this powerful message, I started feeling the love that I never received from my dad. I start feeling the peace that the world has never given to me. I start feeling the joy and the power of God. And I said, "I want it." I walk to that altar, lift up my hands. As the missionary lay hands on me in Jesus' name, the Holy Ghost came down and I spoke in tongues just like the Bible says. But my friend, that was the beginning of a miracle. He picked up that old stinking onion. Yes, my God will never leave you where he first found you. He picked up this old stinking onion and start peeling layers out of my life. Layers that have been there for too long. Loneliness, bitterness, hate. Oh, God. No, I have a reason to hate him. I know, son. God, give up on me. I have a reason. You hurt me. Son, don't let any layers separate you from me. Let me peel it off. Start peeling layers from my life. Love those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. Son, don't let the core of your life, your soul, be separated from my touch because of a layer of hate. He has been taking layers out of my life. He has been teaching me there is no room in the life of a real Christian for bitterness and jealousy and hate. He has been taking layers out of my life. He didn't stop taking layers when I got my local license and my general license. And when I was approved, many times I won deputation and I feel like God is trying to fill out something out of me. I want to go to Africa where my dad lives. I want to go with this book in my hand. By the grace of God, I pray. I want to knock at his door. I want him looking straight in the eye. And I want to tell him, "Daddy, this is your son. I want you to know it doesn't matter what happened in the past between me and you. I love you with all my heart. The reason number two I'm here is because this book tells me he loves you too. Why? I'm not part of the statistics of a broken home. Drug addict? I tried drugs. In prison? I deserve it to be there. I stole enough to be there, Pastor. I tell you why. I'm not where the statistics shows where many young people are today. I tell you why. Because, therefore, if any man be in Christ, young or old, teenager, doesn't matter, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Hate, bitterness, addictions. All things are become new. Peace, joy, victory, hope, comfort. I don't want to be a professional Pentecostal. I don't want to be a professional Christian. God brought me here, and I'm closing. I know if you play. Thank you, sister. God brought me here to the United States 10 years ago. You know why? To take layers out of my life. My plan was just to be here two years. But the Lord wanted more time to peel layers out of my life. God's time is different from our time. And I'm thankful that God is not giving.
Give myself away.
The song was playing the day that I made up my mind. I was hungry to know, God, do you really want me? I was worried about my children. I was worried about, you know, America is a blessed country. God, do you really want for my children to go to United States? God, is that really your will? The song start playing in my head. God, minister to me. Are you giving yourself away? Are those layers of fear and doubt and as God peeled those layers while I was listening to this song, start changing my perspective about the world, about the ministry, what ministry is.
It
has been taking layers of
generation
and what we need to realize. It's so easy to say I am a Christian, but the ability is to walk like Jesus Christ.
I don't know about you guys, but that is probably one of the most stirring messages I've heard in a while, because it lets us realize, you know, we talk about process a lot on this show. But, you know, process is one of those things that's not ending. But then we don't really talk about attitude or process a lot, to really stop and visualize the blessings of God that's been placed in all of our lives and, you know, just how important that is. I think we've got someone here that's already got their hand raised. 7473, you're on the air.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody.
Well, praise the Lord.
I said that was extremely stirring. I got on a little bit late because I was in jail ministry tonight. And I'll tell you what, that was absolutely wonderful. Sad, but happy, you know, and bad, but good. And so I really appreciate you playing that tonight because it's the heartbeat of everybody in the world. And some will admit it and some won't. Some will get it and some won't. But every time I hear a great testimony like that, I know that God is still moving. God is working across not just America, but around the nation, around the world.
Yes.
Because he said, go to the highways and the hedges and control them. And I think that's just when I read that song was quite compelling. And take that to heart. But I just wanted to give a shout out to everybody. And again, I thought I was late to get on a little bit. But I heard, I think, about 3/4 of the sermon.
Well, we appreciate you calling in. You know, it's something is special, you know, when you got missionaries anyway. But I don't know about you, but so many times in my life, I try to figure out how God's wanting to do something instead of just letting go and realizing that he has the answer. You know, if he can do it for one, he can do it for another. And there's not an if in God's vocabulary. It's, you know, yes, I can. Yes, I will. And just when we learn to just give up ourselves and let him have his way. But like he was expressing there, it is so painful sometimes to let go of things, even though they're bad for us. You know, we're wanting to keep a certain part of us hid. We're thinking we're protecting part of who we are and our identity and everything. And the whole time, and now he brought it out so clear in that poem, we're leaving something between us and God when we do that. And that's sad that we don't really stop and think about what we're doing in that situation. Did you have something else for such a Kaiser?
Well, let me make a couple of points. But in the Word of God, there is if. There's one if that I know for a fact is true. If my people, hold themselves in praise to them, that's one if. That's a good if, though. If we will, he will, kind of thing. But that's all I had to say. Well,
that's good. Well, thank you for being on here with us. Does anyone else have any comments or something they'd like to add or something they got out of the show tonight? Are you with us tonight, Blog Talk Mom? Are you there?
I am.
So what did you think about the show tonight?
I just want to confess that I had an extremely strenuous day today, and I thought, well, Bob Bill's got it covered, and I'll just, you know, I won't listen to it tonight. And I thought, no, I can't do that. And I thought, wow, all the way through, if I had missed this, oh, that would have been horrible because it was wonderful. And the Lord spoke to me several times through his message. And I appreciate you for putting it on. Was he at your church?
Yeah, he came. It was actually one of those Wednesday nights that I was able to go to church and be there with them. And as you can tell by the noise of worship, there wasn't a lot of people there, but everyone that was there was really, really blessed. And that statistic, you know, he said, you know, it's been over 10 minutes, but, you know, he didn't have a clock to look at. But if you really listen to what happened there at that point where he gave that awesome opportunity for people to really make an effort to worship God, it still was less. I'll bet if you look, less than 5 minutes, you know, and to think that we have an average that is going through our church right now of when it's tell people to stand up and worship God, that it's less than 10 minutes. It lets us know that we need to take stock. You know, we're the church of the end time. You know, we were talking about that we are that generation. We are that church that is of now. We're the ones that was given the power to be more than overcomers. And here we are. We can't even worship God, you know, for just a little bit. You know, we want to talk about the disciples not wanting to tarry with him, you know, with what was about to happen in the garden. But here we are, knowing all that, having the Word of God to read and to be and to look at those people and to see their situations, and it's not hidden from us what they were going through. And then to go through things like this where we in this time cannot have enough of the Spirit of God in our services to just really pray. And you know, we were talking about naming five things. You know, that should be something that should be in all of our hearts instantly. The names of lost loved ones that we have, the need to want to be more of a vessel that he can use, the desire to have those layers peeled away so we can be closer to him than we've ever been before. All those things should be part of our heart's desire. But we, like we were talking about last week, we get these principles of God instead of the word of God, and the principles are like setting up principalities. You know, it makes it real clear we need to battle against those things within ourselves and not just go into things like books like I'm okay, you're okay, and games people play, and it's got a little bit of godly principle to it, but it's not following to the word of God, where it makes it real clear that things, you know, I talk about Dad being a person, things were black and white. We serve a God, it's black and white. You know, blood had to be shed. You know, it's an awful thing. You know, we don't like to think of anything passing away or dying or being killed, but without shedding of blood, there was no remission of sins, none. And we didn't set up those rules. You know, when we get big enough that we can create our own universe and our own world, and we can, you know, make a group of people be created in our image, then we can make the rules the way we want them to be. But we need to realize that these principalities that we're setting up as to the nature and the things of God that are not the nature and the things of God, we're going to be accountable for those things. When we set those things up and they're not just a stumbling block to sinners, but they're a stumbling block to the Almighty God's church for the work that needs to be done, to where people cannot just let loose in a way that's pleasing to God. When he inhabits the praise of his people, I guess it's, you know, he's going to have to come to a rent zone or something because he can't live there very long because there's not much praise going on. And I look at the things in the church and I realize, you know, if you want a revival, you got to be a revival. You know, you can't judge everybody else for not praising if you're not the last one that's up there praising. If they don't have to pick you up off the floor and put you in your pew, you know, during the part of the service that's open for praise, and I believe that there is an order to things in God's church. But I'm saying that when they establish a time for people to worship, you know, the Bible talks about those people that was, you know, told to hit the ground three times or hit the ground, you know, to symbolize worship. And they did it three times, you know, and God's like, well, you know, the word came out, you know, you got 3 years to live or whatever it was. Worship is not one of those things he wants it to be a formality. It's not to where we clap our hands five times and we worship God. It's not one of those things, well, you know, just be glad I came. You know, I had a lot of things going on my plate today, and, you know, I could have just stayed home. You know, we need to have, you know, you go to the chiropractor to get your back and neck adjusted. We need to go back to the word of God, to the old landmark. We need to go back to the specifics of what's in God's word, and we need to have an adjustment in our spiritual life that it changes our minds to where we remember what it was like when we first prayed through, to think about that image. And it's beautiful to me because I had, you know, a stepdad, and we had a real unusual relationship, and I loved that man with everything that was within me. And you know, I always felt like that as far as working and things like that and the things he taught me, he was the best that there was. There was nobody like my dad. You know, and I can remember, you know, just little things, like the first time he told me he loved me, you know, how that was. And God is reaching out with all that he has each and every second of my life, telling me that he loves me. He wants me to be more like him. He wants me to, I don't have to worry about building my faith because God will build my faith. I don't have to worry about having all the answers because my God has all the answers, and he'll let me know what I need to know to do what he wants me to do. I don't have to figure things out. I just have to know that he loved me first. When I was still his enemy, he died for me. He made a way of escape for me so that I could have more in my life than what I ever dreamed possible without him. You know, we talk about in different things in this business, I mean, you know, we talk about creating wealth beyond your wildest dreams. But in living for God, it is more than you can possibly think or ask. It's more abundant what he has for us than we can even visualize. His ways are not our ways. And when we try to take his ways and try to figure out a way to put them into things that are our ways, all we're doing is like adding more water to the Kool-Aid. We're just watering it down. It's not the same thing as what it was before. And I think it's time, I know within myself, and I don't know about the rest of you, you're probably like, man, Brother Bill's in bad shape. We're way past this. But it's time for us to realize that it's time to draw a line in the sand and say, no more, Satan. My father said, I don't have to put up with this. My father said that he's made a way of escape for me. My father said, believe in him. He's going to do more than I can think or ask. My father said that everything in my life is going to turn out for my good if I trust in him. And I lean not on my own understanding. You know, have faith on the things that I can't see and know that they are, even though I can't see them. That's the things that we need to have in our life. And I didn't mean to run on like that. Blacktop Mom, did you have anything else? I'm sorry.
No, I appreciate everything you're saying, and I agree with you 100%. He's a God that loves us and has already gone before us. Nothing surprises him. He's always on time. He's never late. He's just an awesome, he's an on-time God, and I do love him, and I appreciate the fervency of what you said and what the minister spoke tonight. It was coming from the very depths of his heart, and when he started talking about going into that service, the first service that minister had preached, the first sermon there, and look what it brought. You know, what now this man, and with the experience he's had, how many souls he'll reach. And if we'll just get our hearts, Lord, lead us to that one. Put us in place that that one, just one, can come to us, and we can share with them what has the power, the deliverance, the bountiful blessing of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, the infilling of the Spirit of God, and then God can use that soul, and like you said, it'll be a harvest. This was a wonderful, wonderful service. I really appreciate it tonight. I needed it because I had a strenuous day, and I really need it. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for always being here with us and everything. It's I don't know. It seems like the missionaries that come to our church, you know, they have such a desire to do the work of God. And like you said, his plan was to, you know, go to the churches and build the finance to go and everything for 2 years. But, you know, he realized that God's time is not, you know, his time. And like you were talking about, wow, you know, what would have happened if that missionary hadn't went there, if he had not established that first service? You know, but God, that's one thing. God works things out on both ends always. When you think that there's no hope, there's no place to go, there is no way, there is no answer, he'll have a missionary come and set up a service right there in your path when you're looking for him. You know, he's always faithful to do whatever is needed for those that are truly hungry and reaching out for him. And I truly believe no matter what denominational faith someone is, if they are truly a person of open mind and heart, and all they're after is seeking God with everything that's within them, he will lead everybody into all truth, including, you know, I mentioned all denominationals, but I think sometimes that the Pentecostal people, we need to realize that we got some leading. It has to go our way, too. Just because we know the plan of salvation, that doesn't mean we have all the answers either. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the message of God gets lost in our message sometimes, in our attitude, in the way we present things. And I just want to be, as this man was here, to realize that, you know, I don't have to worry about things. I can just trust in God and take him at his word. And he's faithful. He's watching over his word to perform it in the lives of his people. I don't have to worry about that. I'm not putting myself on the line if I feel led of God to go lay hands on someone that's got something wrong with them that I don't even have to identify what it is and pray over them with a prayer of faith that God's going to do what he said he was going to do and heal them. I don't have to believe that I have anything to do with it at all. You know, we were talking about David last week. David didn't want to be known as the giant killer. David wanted to kill the giant and get him out of the way. And then that's what we need to want to do. We need to look and see, you know, okay, there is a just cause that needs to be done for God's kingdom. And we need to say, yes, we will stand in the gap and we will do what God wants us to do. We're getting down here to the last minute or two of the show. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to add? No hands going up? No one's pushing one? Okay, I want to apologize if you're trying to figure out what the little bubble noise was. Whenever I get something like this, I really feel led to do. It's like the devil gets really upset, and so even with me sitting here with something playing, normally it doesn't do anything. My little fish screensaver kept trying to pop on, and so I was sitting here moving my little cursor all through the thing. It'd come on anyway, and I was like, oh, devil, you're not going to get the best of me. If I have to stop it and restart it, we're going to play this. So, but I want to thank you all again for being part of this show, and want to remind you we're on every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. Pray for us as we pray for you. And let's all make up our mind to draw that line in the sand and say, it stops here. We're going to do what God wants us to do, and Satan, you're a liar. And just get thee behind me and rebuke him in Jesus' name because he has to flee. God bless each and every one of you. Y'all have a good night. We'll be back next week. Thank you again.